6 minutes to net. CQ, the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Your net control tonight is W2MJB. My name is Mark, and my location is Simpsonville. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m. In the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. This repeater is located atop Caesars Head Mountain, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina-South Carolina state line near Highway 276. The repeater is at an elevation of 3,500 feet. This repeater is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. As an added convenience, you can also check in by IMPRS message sent to W4DJW, or you can also check in by Echolink known 545072. Formal traffic for the net, please call W2MJB or net control. Announcements or bulletins for the net, please call W2MJB or net control. Seeing there are no announcements or bulletins or traffic for the net, we will begin the roll call portion of the net. Visitations with or without traffic are invited to check in. As you check in, give your call, name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAG2 portion. Before calling the individual RF groups, however, I would like to recognize the early check-ins. First, we have my wife, KN4HTP, up in the attic in her scrapbook room, doing something on FaceTime with her sister up in Michigan. Next, we have W4FCM, Fred, in Traveler's Rest, and he brings along his wife, N4IEI, that's Isla. We have KM4BLH, Kurt in Greenville, K4ROW, Richard in Greenville, K4OSH, Pat in Malden, KJ4UHF, Jack in Greenville, K4OIM, Walt in Inman, K4XMR, Mel in Prosperity, KG4WNP, Landon in Dacusville, KA5WLL, Leroy in Taylors, KO4RAX, Jim in Dacusville, KN4MDA, John in Lyman, KW4TS, Jim in Pelzer, and finally W2AMD, Andy in Simpsonville. Appreciate all of them going and checking in early through the Brar's website, and we wish them well. With that, that's all of the early check-ins that are accounted for, so we will switch over right now and check in those who are on Echolink. Echolink stations only. Please call W2MJB or net control.
W2MJB, please check in. Kilo, November 4, Romeo, Juliet, November, John Brown Summit, and I'll hang around.
W2MJB, this is Kilo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf, Glenn and Gray Court. Yeah, I would check in properly, but it's raining and I don't want to walk the 10 feet to the car. So just check me in and out, say hi to everyone, 73s, and I'll continue to listen on the Echo Link.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KN4RJN, John, there in Brown Summit. John, thank you for checking in, and I do have you down for a little rag chew at the end of the net. Formal portion of the net, that is. Appreciate you sticking around. We have KD2BNG, Glenn, there in Great Court. Thanks for checking in tonight, Glenn. Hopefully it's not raining too hard down there. It's pretty nice out there earlier today, but we'll see what it's like. Hopefully it'll be clearer so we can see the eclipse tonight. That is all of the Echolink stations for the time being, so we'll go ahead and switch back to the RF check-ins. Tonight being Sunday night, we begin with Alpha through Delta. Please call W2MJB or net control.
MJB. Mark, please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and my wife, Kilo, Kilo 4, Oscar, November Oscar, Lorena, And via telephone relay, my daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar Quebec, Michelle, we're all in Piedmont and we'll all be negative and negative.
W2MJB. Good evening, Mark. Thanks for calling the net tonight. Please check in Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey, W4DJW, Dave and Greer, negative and negative.
2MJB. Mr. Mark, Ms. Wendy in the net, please check in. JI4DOS, Gary. Also, K3JOY. That's my pretty little bride, Joy. We're at home in Easley. No traffic, no chew tonight. Good evening to you, Mark, Ms. Wendy, and all on the net.
JB. And everybody on the net, please check in. Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee Quebec, KB2, BYQ, Dave and Easley. I'll be negative and negative tonight. Everybody have a good evening.
MJB. Mark, please check in. Kilo November 4, Charlie Hotel Yankee, KN4, PHY, Eastern Seneca, negative and negative.
Mark, please check in. November 4, Delta, Juliet, Charlie, N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson, negative and negative.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. That was a great group of check-ins that start out the evening. First, we have KK4DMW Rick in Piedmont. He brings along his good wife, Lorena, KK4ONO, and their daughter, Michelle, by phone relay, KM4MOQ. Thanks for checking in tonight, Rick. Have a great evening, and hopefully we'll stay a little dry tonight. Next, we have our net manager. That's W4DJW, Aaron Greer. Thanks for checking in tonight, Dave. And our Wednesday night net controller and swap net guru, that is Gary, KI4DOS, in Easley. And he brings along his good wife, Joy, K3JOY. We have KB2BYQ, David, in Easley. KN4CHY, Keith, in Seneca. And N4DJC, Jerry, in Anderson. Appreciate you all checking in tonight with me. And if you stick around, hopefully you can enjoy the rest of the net. If not, have a great evening. Are there any other check-ins? Alpha through Delta, please call W2MJB or Net Control.
W. Whiskey 4, Charlie Tango Whiskey, W4CTW. This is Tyler and Taylor's, and I'll be negative and negative.
JB. NK1CJW. That's Kilo 1, Charlie Juliet Whiskey. My name is Roland, located in Pickens, and we're negative and negative, and a very good evening to all.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing W4CTW, Tyler and Taylors. Thanks for checking in tonight, Tyler. And lastly, K1CJW, Roland in Pickens. Appreciate you both checking in. Looks like that's it for Alpha 2 Echo through Hotel. Please call W2MJB or Net Control.
W2MJB. Kilo Charlie 4, Echo, Zulu November, KC4EZ and Harry and Candler. We'll be negative negative, but we'll stick around and see if John elucidates us any on the eclipse. KC4EZN.
Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose. And I will be in and out tonight, Mark. Thanks for calling it.
This is W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KC4EZN, Harry in Candler, North Carolina. Appreciate you sticking around tonight. Harry, I'm sure that John will have plenty of interesting things to say about the eclipse. Next, we have KO4HKX. That's Patrick in Penrose. Thanks for checking in with me tonight, Patrick. Any other check-ins, Echo through Hotel, please call W2MJB or Net Control. W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. That looks like that's it, and nothing hurt for the second call on Echo through Hotel, but we do have an Echo Link station up, so we'll switch back and Request Echolink stations only. Please call W2MJB or Net Control.
W2MJB. Please check in. Kilo, November 4, Victor Whiskey Alpha. Steven Inman, and I'll be negative and negative and listening in. Everybody have a nice evening.
W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KN4VWA, Steven Inman. Thanks for checking in with me tonight, Steve. And if you stick around, I'm sure you'll be interested in what John has to say tonight. With that, we will go to the next check-in group. India through Lima, please call W2MJB or Net Control.
MJB. Hello, Kilo 4. Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar. And I'm James, and I'm up here on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Be negative and negative. It's saying 73s for each one of you.
MJB. India 4. Lima, Zulu, India. KI4LZI on HT. Andy, Table Rock, no traffic, no round tape.
MJB. Mark, hello to Wendy. Please check in. Kilo, Kilo 4. Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna. Kilo, Charlie, 4. Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out, if you would, please. Everyone have a good night. 7-3.
W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KK4JFO, James, there in Tuxedo, North Carolina. Next, we have KI4LZI, Andy in Table Rock. Then we have KK4JBQ, Larry in Greer, brings along his good wife, Donna, KC4MFK. Appreciate all of you coming along and checking in with me tonight. And have a great evening, and stick around, and listen to see what John has to say tonight. Any other check-ins, India through Lima, please call W2MJB or Net Control. W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard on the second call for India through Lima, so we'll go ahead and move to Mike through Papa. Please call W2MJB or Net Control.
W2MJB. Kilo Oscar 4, November Uniform Echo, KO4NUE. Name is Chad. QTH is Campobello. Please also check in my wife, Kilo Oscar 4, Romeo Yankee Papa, KO4RYP. Her name is Anna. QTH is also Campobello. Thank you for calling the net tonight, Mark. Anna will be no comments, and I would like to sit around and talk with you for a few minutes. Thank you, Mark.
W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KO4NUE, Chad and Campbell. Thanks for checking in tonight, Chad, and bringing your good wife along, Anna, KO4RYP. Chad, I have you down for some rack chew after John, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Next, we have KO4PBX, Lloyd in Simpsonville. Appreciate you checking in tonight, Lloyd. Any other check-ins, Mike through Papa, please call W2MJB or Net Control.
Chicken in Kilo Oscar 4, November Hotel, KO4NMC. My name is Fred. I'm over in Piedmont tonight. Thanks for you, Mark. It's windy and all in the net. I'll be negative and negative tonight.
W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to recognize KO4NNH, Fred, there in Piedmont. Thanks for checking in tonight, Fred. There was another station that is way down in noise. I think that was probably my previous to the last check-in. I think it's Lloyd. I got KO4PXP. Maybe I said that wrong. KO4PXP, that was Lloyd. So if you want to recheck, that would be great. Hey Lloyd, this is W2MJB. You were way down on the noise. I didn't quite catch what you was said after you confirmed your call sign. I got you, Lloyd. That's negative and negative. Appreciate you checking in tonight, Lloyd. Let's see. One more call for check-in. Let's try again. Mike Triple Paw, please call W2MJB or Net Control. W2MJB, Net Control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard on that last call for Mike Triple Paw, so we'll go ahead and move to Quebec through Tango. Please call W2MJB or Net Control.
Delta 8, Romeo Oscar November, Head and Brevard, no traffic, no comments.
MJB, check in KO4QLG, that's Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima Golf, Chris, Liberty, and I'll be there.
MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KF4RBH, that's JD and Bria. Thanks for checking in tonight, JD. You were way down in the noise tonight, and but I was able to get out your call sign for my records. I heard your name, but wasn't able to get your old call sign, so just to give you that little bit of information on your noise level. Next, we have WD8RON, Ed in Brevard, North Carolina. Thanks for checking in tonight, Ed. And KO4QLG, Chris in Liberty. Appreciate you all checking in tonight with me. Any other check-in, Quebec through Tango, please call W2MJB or Net Control. W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard on that second request for check-ins on Quebec through Tango, so we'll go ahead and move to Uniform through Zulu. Please call W2MJB or net control.
JB. In the net, please check in November 4, Zulu, Lima, Kilo, N4ZLK. I'm Shane. I'm in Cleveland, South Carolina, Northeast Pickens County. No traffic, no table tonight. Control. Net control, please check in. Kilo Oscar 4, Zulu Yankee X-ray. This is Daniel Spartanburg. Negative and negative.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing N4ZLK, Shane in Cleveland. Thanks for checking in tonight, Shane. Then the last station is a new check-in in my log. That is, if I got his call sign listed correctly, we got KO4ZYX, and that's Daniel in Spartanburg. Daniel, can you recheck and verify that I got your call sign entered correctly?
This is Daniel. That's an affirmative on that call sign. KO4ZYX, Zulu Yankee X-ray. Yes, sir, I do believe this is my first check-in with you. I've checked in a few times on this net, but like I said, negative and negative, going to be in and out. Thank you, sir.
And appreciate that. And I think you're fairly new, according to your call sign, if I'm reading that correctly. So if you are new to the hobby, welcome, and welcome to the net. Appreciate you checking in. Any other check-ins, Uniform through Zulu, please call W2MJB or Net Control.
November 1, X-ray radio. My name is Michael. I'm mobile in Toccoa, Georgia at the moment. I'll be negative and negative. Thank you.
Okay.
K4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4 XB. Name is Tommy. Location Southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening to you and everyone on net.
This is W2MJB, net control to the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing N1XRR, Michael. They're mobile in Toccoa. Thanks for checking in tonight, Michael. You came through pretty clearly, considering you're mobile, so great job. Lastly, we have K4XB, Tommy, in Southern Greenville County. Appreciate both of you checking in tonight. Looks like that's it for the Uniform through Zulu group, so we'll go ahead and move and open it up to the large group. Alpha through Zulu, please call W2MJB or net control.
JB. Check in, Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, KO4JKV. This is Duncan up in Asheville. Mark me negative and negative 73 to you and everybody on the net.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, recognizing KO4JKV, Duncan in Asheville. Thanks for checking in tonight, Duncan, and have a great evening. Any other check-ins, Alpha through Zulu, please call W2MJB or net control. W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Nothing heard on that last call, Alpha through Zulu, so we'll go ahead and secure the formal portion of the net at this time, with my thanks to all those who checked in. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We will now begin the RAC2 portion of the net with periodic stops for check-ins between the RAC2s. KN4RJN, John, what's the latest on the eclipse tonight?
This is KN4RJN. Well, I just ran outside to see what the cloud cover was looking like up here, and it's starting to break up, so I ought to be able to see something. I was watching the radar, and the cloud's moving over, and the thickest ones are going to get out of the way. We've got about an hour. Eclipse starts at 10:28. It will reach totality at 11:29. And the totality of the eclipse will last for 85 minutes. As it comes out of the umbra, which is the darkest part of the shadow, and enters the penumbra, which is the kind of lighter part of the shadow as it starts to come out, the moon will take on a reddish hue, and at about 4:14 in the morning, you'll see the full, what's called the full blood moon. The full moon the whole thing will have a reddish color to it. It'll take it that long to come completely out of the Earth's shadow. And it should be, something kind of cool to see. Unlike a solar eclipse, you don't need any special eye protection or anything to look at the moon. And I encourage everybody that can to go out at least for a little while and watch it if you've got clear skies. The clouds up here look like they're going to move out of the way. And from what I can recall looking at the weather radar, which I don't have up right now, it looks like it might be clear down your way. What's it like out there?
KN4RJ and W2MJB. I haven't been out there since, I guess I took the dog for a walk around 7:30. And it was a little bit cloudy around 7:30, but I haven't seen it since then. So, but it's been off and on, partly cloudy at different points of the day. Been warm, but we'll see. I'm sure Wendy will be down here in a little bit to go out and scope it out and see what we can see.
This is KN4RJN. Yeah, it's... It doesn't happen very often, about once every it only happens on a full moon, and it only happens when the moon is at or very near what's called a lunar node. And the lunar node is when, without getting too technical, basically when the Earth, Sun, and Moon all line up in the same spot. There is a path that the Earth follows around the Sun, which is called the ecliptic. And when the moon is within,
either on the passes over the ecliptic or is very, very close to it, then the moon and the Earth and the sun can line up sufficiently that the Earth casts a shadow on the moon, and hence you have a lunar eclipse. It also happens on the other end when the new moon gets between us and the sun and is near the ecliptic, and then we get a solar eclipse. The solar eclipse totalities generally only last a few minutes because the moon, being very much smaller than the Earth, casts a very much smaller shadow, whereas the Earth casting its shadow on the moon, since it's very much bigger, that shadow lasts for a long time. If we were on the moon and watching, we would see a solar eclipse that lasts for 85 minutes, which would be neat.
RJN W2MJB. I hadn't really thought about, mentally thought about trying to see a solar eclipse from the moon that would be that long. That's an interesting perspective to have, that it's equal in time as what we see on the moon, and it makes sense from the physics standpoint. But I think as far as eclipses go, I think the first time we had a chance to see an eclipse was when I was in, I think it was 7th or 8th grade. It was a partial eclipse, wasn't a full eclipse. So the one that came through here in the upstate was, I think, 2017, I think it was, or 18. It was pretty marvelous to stand out. They actually let us take time off work so we could stand out of the plant and see the solar eclipse. And they supplied us with those special eye protection so that we could see it. And it was really, really neat to be able to see that in my lifetime.
This is KN4RJN. Yeah, that was a unique experience. There's another one in 2 years, in 2024, which the last solar eclipse, the one you were speaking of, traveled basically on a diagonal from Oregon down to off the South Carolina coast. The next one will travel like an X in the other direction, coming up from the southwest, heading up towards Maine and Nova Scotia. There's a spot, I believe, if I recall correctly, somewhere in Missouri that is the center of that X, and they get to see it twice. For us down here, if we want to see it, we're going to have to travel north. Personally, I'm going to my mother-in-law's house in Indiana, and her driveway is about 5 miles off the center line of totality, so I'm going to go up there, take my scope and my glasses and all that stuff, and go up and watch it up there. But that's April sometime. I have to look it up. But it's April of 2024. There'll be another solar eclipse that will cross the United States.
RJNW2MJB. You're a lucky dog being able to go up there and see two in your lifetime. That's fantastic. So with the scope that you're taking, are you going to be able to video that, or will it just be being watching it? I'm sure you won't want to watch it with your eyes through the telescope, but what about camera equipment or like your iPhone or something?
This is KN4RJN. Well, for the last eclipse, I actually bought a solar filter for my telescope to fit over it. And we watched it through the scope. And I have a little bracket that you can attach your iPhone. And we had a bunch of people there, and I adjusted it and hooked their iPhones up to the bracket so they could take pictures of it through the scope and whatnot. But I hadn't thought about taking a video. I guess I could do that. The problem with that is I have to keep the phone aligned, because the bracket's just a little bit loose. You kind of have to hold the phone and at the same time keep it on the eclipse, because despite the fact that, you know, there's an eclipse happening, everything is moving, so you have to adjust the scope from time to time. Everybody took pictures but me, because I was too busy messing with the scope and fixing their phones and putting them on the thing. But a lot of people got pictures of the eclipse. And of course, I had little glasses for everybody and all that, and I had binoculars with solar filters on them. So we made a party of it. So I'm going to do that again up in my mother-in-law's driveway up in North Vernon, Indiana.
W2MJB. Well, hopefully this time maybe the party won't be quite so big, so that you'll be able to take some video or your own photographs that you can maybe blow up and hang on the wall, so that you can enjoy seeing that all the time. So, any other new or interesting astronomy-based things that are going on here in the near future?
This is KN4RJN. Well, I hadn't looked that up to see what else was going on, because the eclipse kind of had it had my attention. There's an asteroid shower going on that actually will peak on, let's see, whoops, too late. This is past May 6th, isn't it? No, it didn't. It is. It's past. It peaked on May 6th, but Eta Aquarius asteroid shower goes on from April till about the 28th, till the end of the month here, 28th of May. And if you go out on a clear night and look for the constellation Aquarius, which is where they appear to radiate out of, although you can see them just about anywhere. In the evenings, you might be able to catch an asteroid or two. It actually peaked last week, but that's still happening. So, and I believe, if I remember correctly, the Aquarians were running into leftovers of Halley's Comet. I believe that's what that one is. So, till the end of the month, you might have a chance to go out and look, and might see an asteroid or two. That's about it for this month, and I'll figure out what else is happening anytime soon, and talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Appreciate that. It's pretty interesting listening to what you read about there in the astronomy area of interest. So, and Wendy and I talked about the scope, so I'm sure she'll be getting a hold of you probably this week sometime to kind of let you know what our plans are. So appreciate your time tonight, John, and sticking around and tell us about the eclipse that's coming up tonight. Anything else on your mind?
This is KN4RJN. No, I don't think so. That's about it for this evening. So I will say 73. Say hello to Wendy for me. And 73s to everybody on the net. And y'all have a good evening. And this is KN4RJN, and I am clear.
2MJB, net control for Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Thank you, John, for the rag chute. Go ahead, contact.
KO4NUE, Mark, can I have a quick informal with John real quick?
Yes, Chad, go ahead and call your station.
KN4RJN, KO4NUE.
This is KN4RJN. Go ahead.
We're going to watch the blood moon tonight. I managed to find a set of binoculars. They've got artillery divisions in them, but graduated in meals, but that's okay. We can see with them, and just going to let you know, we're going to watch it. We got our Alexa set.
This is KN4RJN. Well, with those binoculars, at least you'll be able to call fire on it.
I'll let you know what we saw, John, or we'll talk about it on the net next time. Just want to let you know we will be watching. KO4NUE, back to you, Mark.
W2MJB, net control for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Take a break here between rag twos and see if there's anyone else that come along and wants to check in. All the way through the alphabet, A through Z, please check in. W2MJB, or net control.
I've got a message for Wendy for you to pass over to her when you get a chance.
This W2MJB, net control for Blue Ridge 2-meter net, checking in, KN4CHY, Keith in Seneca. Keith, go ahead with your message.
Mark. I was talking to Wendy one night on the net and mentioned that I had planted some garlic, and I've got a harvest update. Garlic grew real good, but it didn't develop all the way. They were about the size of, the cloves were about the size of baby limas. So, so I guess the moral of the story is don't use store-bought garlic, even if it's organic, and I will try it again next year. It was a lesson learned, but I wanted to give her that update. Over.
W2MJB, I will give her that message for you to not use store-bought garlic to try to grow garlic with. We'll need to find a better source for it.
The plants grew beautifully. They look great all winter long. They yell it out like they were supposed to come harvest time, but they just did not produce. Anyway, that's all I had, and with that, I'll say good evening to y'all and turn it back to you. W2MJB, KN4CHY, back to net.
YW2MJB, thank you for the notes, and I will let her know, and have a great evening. With that, there were no other check-ins, so we'll go ahead and continue on with REACT-U, KO4NUE. Chad, what has been your experience tonight?
KO4NUE, well, good evening, Mark, and everybody on the net. I just wanted to drop by and tell kind of a weird one. My wife came in this afternoon and was complaining that the air conditioner over at our mother-in-law's suite had quit working, and that she had found a snake that had got in the evaporator fan shaft, and evidently the snake was trying to get out of the top of the evaporator when the fan kicked on, and it wound the snake around the fan shaft and got its head wedged in the cooling louvers on the evaporator fan. I sent you a video of it, but it's about 3 feet long and wound completely around the fan, and the fan couldn't turn and got hot and basically cooked it on, cooked it around the motor. So it was locked up pretty good. And I just wondered if you'd ever seen anything like that, because I'm 50 years old. I've never seen a snake get an air conditioner evaporator like that.
W2MJB. No, I hadn't. When you sent that first little clip, it looked, I thought it was just like a little piece of rubber that was sticking out of the louvers there. And when you opened it up, I thought it was just maybe like a piece of rope or a wire or something that somehow got down in there. And then when you pulled the head of the snake with the, what remained of the body out of the louvers, I've never seen anything like that before. So could you tell what type of snake it was, or is it just like a garden snake or something?
Snake is about 3 feet long, and I don't like messing with black snakes too much because they keep the mice down here on the farm. They mess with the eggs a lot. I don't care too much for that. But he sure did. He got wound all the way around it. I think I counted six times he got wrapped around the shaft of the motor. And basically, the motor was really hot. I don't know how long he had been there. I'd say less than a day or so, but it pretty much just cooked him in place. And just locked the whole, the whole unit down.
Comment. This is N4DJC. I had one do the same thing on my heat pump, wrapped around the shaft of the fan, and I didn't notice it being on there until it already dried up and desiccated, but it must have been a pretty good size black snake. But I think we're reading it got in there, there would have been a chipmunk or two had been getting inside there, and I've been using a trap to trap them with. One got in there, and he might have got in there and got out of my trap somehow or another and got inside the condensing unit there, and the snake went in after him. And as an aside, foot one crawling through the backyard yesterday, and I left him alone. It was hot outside, and he just slid across that wall. I said, "It looks like a snake." I said, "Sure is." And my neighbors next door got chickens. I'm sure he was headed over that way, but I just don't want to. I don't want to kill a black snake. He was a big one, but he didn't get in the yard. He went on down to the vacant lot where they built the house. So I had to let him go. I leave him alone. Unless the boys that's in the yard, I just have to leave him alone unless they're trying to get in the house. But anyway, I thought I'd have to confirm that Shad, you're not the first person to seen that. M4DJC, back to net control.
JB. Yeah, when I was a kid on my grandma's farm, we used to go out there, and when we'd find water snakes, we'd catch them. And had one time, and I brought it up and just kind of showed it to my grandma, and she didn't really appreciate it, even though we were across the two-lane highway from her. She wasn't really happy that we had hold of that water snake, but today, these days, I prefer leaving the snakes alone and not touching them. Unless they're in my yard, then I might have to take care of them because of our dog. Don't want the dog getting in with a snake, especially since I've seen some, what are they? They've got the hourglass form, I think I can't remember the name of them.
Hourglass, you talking about a spider mark or a snake?
Snake. I think it's a copperhead or one of the ones that are more common around here. I think it's a copperhead, and then there's the other one that's got more of the hourglass, and they've got some reddish tints to them.
Before Anna's dad passed away, they lived in Eastside down here in Greenville in Dale North community. Housing development, and the house got a really, really foul odor to it every time the heat came on. It's just this really, really bad smell that just kind of inundated the house. And he was not well enough to find it. Her dad was, but we had a Dalmatian that stayed with us at the time. So we took her over there, and she found the vent that the smell was coming out of. And we had to hire an air conditioner guy to come in and pull the ductwork out from underneath the house. And he found a rattlesnake. I don't know, he's probably 20-30 inches long, that had got in the air conditioner vent and had died. And he was explaining to us that rattlesnakes, when they decay, they take a longer time to decay for some reason. But I just thought that was kind of weird, you know, a rattlesnake in this area. But I've never seen anything get in the air conditioner vent like that, or in the vent inside a house. Just kind of kooky, I guess.
BW2MJB. Yeah, the only rattlesnake I've ever seen was on a trail. When I was a scout, we were hiking along this trail in a canyon with a lot of rocks, and there was a snake coiled up in the middle of the trail. We come to a halting stop and we saw it, and then just waited until it scurried on its way. But I can't imagine a snake. I'm not sure how in the world they would get into ducting unless it's one of those mechanical systems where the air conditioner, everything is out to the side of the house, and they just run the vents, you know, the plenum and the ducting that comes under the house and then in. Because I would think if it was a furnace or AC unit that's under the house, it wouldn't be able to crawl in there.
Took the needle nose pliers out there and took the top of the thing off. Maybe that's a condenser, the outside condenser. Took the lid off of it, and like I said, he was coiled up in there, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. And we do have some chipmunks that, you know, her mother keeps bird feeder out here on the front porch so she can watch the birds. And she's kind of chair bound, so she gets a lot of joy out of seeing all the birds come. But, you know, with the bird feeder comes all of the, you know, rodents. And I've got a 22 rifle propped up in the kitchen here. And every time the squirrels come, they, you know, I have to take care of the squirrels and the chipmunks. And, you know, it's a constant battle with them. But I'm sure that's what's contributed to, you know, the snake and all. But I'd never seen that before. Just thought I'd send you a video of it.
I was really surprised. Thanks for the video. I'll show it to Wendy when she comes down and let her see what you found. But I was sitting out on the porch today with my little HF hooked to my 20-meter helical antenna that I've never heard anything out of. But today I was able to hear something. And while I was sitting there on the porch, I saw a little movement. I thought something run down the side of the house, but it was a little chipmunk that came in. We've got a screen porch on the back of the house, and there's a little, probably a 2-inch square opening at the bottom of the siding against the brick where the screen porch frame doesn't cover. And this little squirrel came in on the porch, and I guess it was probably as surprised to find me sitting there as I was to see it running past me, and it darted out as quickly as could be when it saw me move. But so we've got squirrels. Our greyhound got a rabbit one day. We haven't seen any rabbits lately in our backyard. And Wendy, I think, seen a black snake on the screen porch right in front of the screen door that she just kind of left alone until it scurried off. But down here in the south, I think we probably see a little more wildlife than what I did as a kid in the city area.
Yeah, we've been here. We moved. We built out here on the farm. Oh, I don't know. It's been closer to 20 years now, I think. And when we first built the house, we've got windows all on the front of the house. Nothing but, you know, glass. And the first year we were here, we opened the windows from the bottom at night. We got a 112-foot porch out on the front. And over the years, we've had, I don't know how many birds get in the house, and Anna's, you know, she's scared to death of birds. We got a pair of wood ducks got in the chimney one year, got behind the wood stove during the summertime, made an awful racket, drove the dogs crazy. The first year we let the windows open, the windows from the bottom, we had a coyote come into the kitchen. We've had two raccoons. They didn't come in the house, but they came on the porch fighting and carrying on all night. We've got some deer that, you know, kind of wreak havoc on the garden every year. There's a woodchuck out there that he's been hiding now for 2 years. He's pretty sneaky. I hadn't been able to get him. He always spots me before I spot him. But, you know, turkeys, and there's always some kind of mess going on around here with some kind of animal trying to do something, you know. But I'll have to put this one in my books. Never seen one get an air conditioner and get coiled up like that. But it locked it down.
Sounds like you have quite the menagerie out there of animals. Different subject. You sent me a video of that, I guess you'd call it a grenade launcher kind of thing, where you launch your rope and the aluminum piece up over a tree. What did you use for, I mean, is it just a compressed air can? And what did you use actually for the triggering and measuring unit to shoot with?
An air tank, and there's a regulator on it, a 1-inch regulator for like natural gas or something. And I screwed the regulator out and machined a button on top of it so I can control, you know, how much volume it dumps at one time. So basically, you know, 120 pounds, 140 pounds, whatever you want to put in it. And when you hit the button, it dumps all of that air pressure at once. So Gary taught me how to use a slingshot and a rod and reel. But I just have not been successful with it. I get more frustrated with that than, you know, how many sinkers I've lost. You know, I tried my best at it, and I can't make it work. Gary seems to be, you know, he can make it work, but I can't. So I just got tired of it. So I just got my air tank and machined me a trigger to go on the regulator. And I went over to a friend's house last week and got to try it out for the first time. So it takes the tagline and all with it. And we got over, you know, 80, probably 60 to 80 foot trees. No problem. You just tie the antenna straight to it, and over the treetops you go. So we got it figured out. Does a really good job. A little scary. Shot a hole in my garage door, 3-inch hole, but it works.
Did you forget to check and make sure you didn't have a bullet in the chamber before you pulled the trigger?
I didn't put but about 40 pounds of air in it. I didn't think it was, you know, I didn't think it was going to do that bad, you know. But I was getting ready to take it out the door, and where I got the handle on it, it's right over the trigger. And I just bumped it. Had, you know, 2 weeks of a spring on it. And, you know, it shot out across the shop, and then when the slug hit the door, it went through the metal door. I busted a 3-inch hole in the metal door. And then, you know, I had to cut another slug because I thought I could find it. But it went through the door and went somewhere I never did find it. So I had to do some improvising on the trigger. So I think I about got it perfected. But we used it the other day, and it worked out really, really good. I don't know how long, you know, Daddy hadn't seen the hole in the door yet, but, you know, I don't exactly know what I'm going to tell him. You know, I guess I'll have to tell him the truth, I guess, but I just, I'm going to get it.
But on the chipmunks or the raccoons, the raccoons kind of look mischievous. So, but anyway, I'm sure he'll know it was you, regardless. But so, do you find that you got a little bit too much distance on it for hanging antennas?
Got to do some experimenting with it, and like I said, I think I've got that figured out. You just change the air pressure in the tank. I've been doing a lot of test shots with it, with different types of string and different types of rope. but you know, you can pretty much judge what you're gonna do. I've started to write some things down. You know, it's all an estimate anyway, because I don't really have any idea of, you know, telling how tall a tree is without doing some kind of trig or something. But, you know, I just tie off, I think last time we did, we tied off about, I don't know, probably 200 foot of line. And, you know, I had to tie it off to something on the other end, because it'll take the whole 200 foot with it. But when you're trying to get over tall trees, or two tall trees at a time, that's kind of nice, you know. You just lay the tag line in the top of both trees, and then it falls down on the other side. You don't have to mess with tying an antenna off or tying new string off. It just kind of do it all in one shot.